And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good.
I'm Shush, I'm here, and today we have Pip!
What's up?
That was a
you
great
can definitely intro. Tell I've done this before, hey?
That was a terrific introduction.
Thank you.
That
I watched was. The Office last night, so I feel like it's just kind of accidentally slipped out.
Oh, well, Pip, we are so excited to have you on the podcast today. You are a dear friend of ours and an absolute legend, and we love chatting with you and working with you, and I'm really excited for what's going to happen today. It's going to be good. But before we get into anything, we need to ask you some very quick questions.
This might be the most important section.
Potentially. Could be.
And this doesn't make me nervous level, at all. Cool.
Surface level really so quick five. Questions. It's great.
Got to answer as quick as you can. Okay. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
Tea or coffee?
Both.
Oh,
okay.
All the time.
All right. Sweet or savoury?
Sweet.
Okay.
Washing up or drying up?
Dishwasher?
Yep. Yep.
Good answer. All right. Here's one. Last meal ordered on Uber Eats?
Last night was gnocchi with like cream sauce and chicken and mushroom. And it was...
Whoa.
Amazing.
That's a
and the gnocchi
fancy.
Was like the size of half a potato. They were so good.
All right, and last question. What was the last greatest TV show or movie you watched?
Oh, well, I was watching The Office last night, so that was pretty great. But I've been like binging on New Girl because we just spent 3 days in ISO. And, you know, so much TV to be watched. So we're in the midst of that.
I love
yeah, Nicole. I'm pretty easy as long as it's funny.
Pip, you're wonderful, and we want to learn more about you. So, would you tell us what do you do? What's your thing? And how? Like, I know that sounds really vague, but like, there are so many art forms. So, I guess, what's your art form, and how did you get to where you are now? If that makes sense.
Yeah. Cool. So I am living, breathing dance for like 20 years now, which is a long time. I am a full-time studio dance teacher with a wonderful bunch of lunatic children that I love dearly. This is all I do. Like, I go to a lot of youth camps and stuff with you guys, and I've often had people be like, so what do you like do during, you know, when you're not here? And I was like, this. Like, this is what I do. I teach kids and I yell at people to point their feet and I do more dancing. Like, this is all I do. And unfortunately, I'm one of those people that it's also, like, my entire Instagram feed is all ballet and it's all dancing and, yeah. So I'm unfortunately one-dimensional, but I feel like that one dimension is very deep. Mm. I don't know if that is a thing that you can be, but... yeah, and I am incredibly privileged to do what I do, and I love what I do in every form that it's ever taken. I think the most ridiculous one it ever took was I got roped into performing a tap dance. I'm not a tap dancer at all. Performing a tap dance in a competitive Irish dance, like, festival, and it was just bizarre.
I've done that as well, actually.
Yeah, see, it's like it's a rite of passage for a lot of people. So, you know. Yeah.
That's very cool. So, when did you start dancing? Like, so just as a child, you were just been dancing since forever and grew up, I guess, going to the studio and everything?
Yeah, I'm one of those, like, have done it for forever. My favourite line now is when kids get sassy with me and they're like, but are you sure? And I'm like, I've literally been doing this for longer than you've been alive. Which
good
is
line.
My. That's my go-to these days, and it feels less good the older I get because I'm like, I'm so old now. But yes, I started when I was like 24, and I'm 25 now, so like probably 16 years of like studio training, and I think I'm into like 7 years of teaching now. Yeah, but it all kind of just blended into one. Like, I never really left the big empty space of the studio, so it all feels continuous.
Yeah. Yeah, nice.
Now, can you forgive my ignorance if I come across ignorant at all in the next half an hour, which I probably will, but...
Go nuts, Dan.
In that said history, is there, like, study involved in dance?
Yeah, good question. And it's not an ignorant question because so I did a Bachelor of Fine Arts in dance at QUT in Brisbane, and which is massive part of my Jesus story as well. Anyway, yeah, so that's a 3-year like bachelor's degree, and then in my 4th year I did an optional honours project, like a research project. But usually, most of the time, when you say to somebody like, "Oh, I have a Bachelor of Dance," they're like, "What?" Didn't realize that was a thing you could do. And like, there were times in my degree I was like, I can't believe I'm getting a degree to do this. Or in the like, I really enjoy this and it's so amazing way, but also in the like we had meditation as part of a subject. And like all you had to do was turn up and close your eyes. So,
that's great.
Like, that was a pretty great uni subject, I'm not gonna lie, but I also like just had the best time. Like I learned so much. So that was kind of like my proper like official training. But I'm also a teacher with the Royal Academy of Dance, so it's like a internationally recognised organisation. And insert self plug here. So like, there's a bunch of accreditation and stuff that you can do depending on what you teach and where.
Awesome.
And I guess, on the kind of other side of this podcast, we have like the creative stuff and then like the Jesus stuff. So tell us, how long have you been, or like, what's your connection with the Salvos, I guess, in one sentence?
Yeah. So I, when I was growing up, I was like what I refer to as like a FIFO Christian, which is a big term in Queensland. It means fly in, fly out. And usually it is in regards to people who like work in mines. But we were kind of like, my family were like fly in, fly out Anglicans. So I think like I say that as a joke, but like my parents' faith I think has been very solid for a long time. It was just that church was not something that we did regularly. Anyway, so I moved to Brisbane at the end of school and made good friends with a girl there, and she was like, "Hey, do you want to come to church?" And she is a long life Salvo, and was like, I was like, "Oh yeah, it's been a while." So I went to North Brisbane Salvos and I just didn't leave. people were kind of like, I have found like in most of my Jesus journey, I'm not one of those like smash bang wallop, I had this great big moment people. Things just kind of happen and I don't realize they're happening until I'm like halfway through and I look back and I'm like, "Oh, that's happened." Yeah. So I didn't really have kind of like a, I don't know, that's the moment that I tell people that I became an active Christian.
Yeah.
Like, I always believed in God, but the God that I believed in was not necessarily the God that I know now. I was very much, like, lightning and thunder and, you know, wrath and, like, that kind of God that I was afraid of rather than the God that I fear now. Which is a very confusing statement to make, but that's kind of the best way to explain it, yeah.
I'm with you. It's biblical. Yeah. Fear God. I like it.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool. I'm learning things already. It's exciting. I love hearing this. I would love to hear, I guess, something you touched on. It sounds like when you went to uni and moved to Brisbane, there seemed to be a real turning point in, I guess, I assume your dance journey as well as your faith journey. And you kind of hinted at there was something there, so I want to jump straight in if it's okay and be like, what was that? What happened at uni for you?
Like, what happened at uni? Like, so many things. I feel like it's everybody's time where, like, everything falls to pieces and falls together and falls to pieces again and, like, which I loved. And I refer to those as my, like, formative years, even though I was, like, 20 by the time it was all over. Yeah, so there was a few kind of like touch points, I suppose, that are other things I look back and go, like, Jesus just like kind of hit me in the face with awesome stuff. Probably one of the biggest ones is that I think it was halfway through my second year, my best friend had an epiphany in front of me. Like, and when I say epiphany, I mean it in the most spiritual sense. So I was like brand new to the whole like Christianity and Jesus and all that sort of stuff in the way that I know it now. And we were having burritos at GYG after we'd seen Inside Out, which if you've seen it, you know that brings all the feels and all of the like self-reflection and all that kind of stuff. So Jesus
emotions
very much
are toyed
was, like,
with
I'm going to use
that,
as a vehicle to like blow this girl's mind up. And we were just talking about it and whatever, and she was very much into like astrology and lots of that like fate and all this kind of different stuff. And all I can remember about the conversation is that she was talking about that, and I said, is it possible that all these things that you see as part of the universe or whatever is actually just God with a bunch of different names over the top? I can only remember that by the grace of God, because I cannot remember anything else from that conversation.
Yeah.
I remember the look on her face, because it was like when a small child is under a blanket and you like rip the blanket off and their hair like flies everywhere and they look shocked, and like it was that kind of feeling. And I was like, what is going on? Like, this is weird. Like, we're in the middle of South Bank in Brisbane with burritos, and like it was just the most obscene and awesome experience of my life. And I'm grateful for that in a million different ways. But I think the primary one was just at that point in my life, I knew nothing about Jesus, like comparatively nothing. Had never read a full book of the Bible, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, God let me do this, and I don't know anything. Like, which I think, if I'm honest with myself, has probably been a continuous theme of the various ministries and awesome things that I've got to do. So that was awesome. And I was actually thinking last night about, I like probably 3 weeks before that had just recovered from an injury. And it was bad, and no one knew what it was. That was kind of the part that made it like really bad. I landed a dodgy jump at the start of the semester and was out for like 7 weeks. And when it's uni, you get marked on whether or not like you do stuff in class, and I couldn't do anything. And then I think a couple of weeks before assessment, I got like smashed in church one day in the good way.
Good,
I'm a big
smash.
Fan of those like violent God analogies. I don't know why. I think that's because how it feels to me. But I got well and truly hit with, yes, I have always primarily in my life identified myself as a dancer. And that's okay, because I know that comes from God. But actually, in that moment, I was convicted of the fact that I wasn't primarily identifying as a Christian, like as a Jesus follower. And that was more important, because I was like, this is going to end my like career and everything that I know. And I can't do anything else. And like, what am I going to do? Like, and kind of just had that, I hate using all these like Christianese words, but like I had that moment of surrender where I was like, I don't know what you're going to do, but all right, like I don't have anything else left. So here we are. So that was a pretty intense moment in my life. And of course, healed the next week, sat all my assessments, got through, no worries, like, Jesus
thanks,
just
Jesus.
Doing the sneakies yes. on me. So that was a pretty big turning point, just in terms of understanding where my art form, like, and you guys know this, because like when you get consumed by art, you get consumed, like submerged, and you know, there's no kind of other things that you think about, unless you guys are more interesting than I am, which is likely. But when you get so submerged in it, it's hard to factor in stuff like Jesus. And that's the problem. Like, you shouldn't be factoring it in. You should be starting with Jesus and going, okay, here's all this other stuff, you know, that he's given me. Yeah, I hope that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. And something we've touched on in this podcast before, like, priorities of what comes first. The art form actually doesn't come first. Jesus comes first. And it actually makes your art form better when Jesus comes first. Yeah. So it's like, you know, people are like, you got to practice 12 hours a day and concentrate on that. Like, yes, but if you're first focusing on Jesus, that practice actually starts to make sense in the practical as well. So, no, that makes perfect sense. Can I – that is all awesome, by the way. and I think – like, I associate with the desperation side of things as well. I think God meets you when you're most desperate as well. And I think that really plays into the story you just said. But can I go super back and go to the possible ignorant thing? But are you, can you kind of, I know that dance, so in the Salvation Army, music is very forefront as far as creative arts is concerned, and me and Shush always harp on this, we don't want people to just associate creative arts with music. There is so much out there, and dance is one massive realm of that. Can you kind of touch on like what worship dance kind of is to the layman? Because I know that there would be people that would sit there and see someone dance and go, what is this? Like, how is this even worship? You know what I mean? Like, can you kind of – this is a really broad question. But can you kind of touch on that, like, from your opinion? Like, because you, I think you'll have a very, very valuable opinion.
I wouldn't place too much value on it just yet. We'll see how it finishes. Yeah, that's a seriously awesome question, and I wish more people asked. I wish more people who think themselves ignorant would ask, because showing that you ask the question, like, asking the question means that you're not ignorant. It means that you seek to understand rather than just being like, it's not music, bye. Like, because I think that's worse in many, many ways. And I know that dance is not the only art form that suffers, is probably a strong word, but suffers in that way lack of knowledge or whatever. We're just kind of fortunate enough that people have started, I think, to realise significance and realise that there's stuff there that they don't understand, but it's actually good things. For me, worship dance is basically improvisation. Like, that's what it looks like in its most kind of simple, stripped-down form. It started for me as a, like, I'm a dancer. Like, if there's music on, I'm moving consciously, subconsciously, enormously, like, very, very small, you know. It's just happening. So I think when it started to happen, I didn't really notice it at all, because I was just kind of swaying a bit more vigorously than everyone else, or, like, you know, my step touch was just a little bit more, like, enthusiastic, or, you know, like, whatever. And it started becoming, like, a thing where, you know, because you only had the space of your chair. It was kind of like trying to dance in a phone box, but smaller, which I was fine with. I was like, that's cool. I was really enjoying exploring just that really small space of worship, and that was cool for me. And thankfully I had friends who didn't freak out and like leap 3 meters to the left and right, which was cool. They were like, that's really awesome that's how your worship comes out. Cause I suppose, if you're not a dancer, it's kind of, it looks really weird, right? Like I should preface it with that. It looks incredibly weird and intimidating if you don't understand what's going on, which is why I think I was so nervous and so hesitant in making it anything more than that, because I am incredibly conscious of everybody else's worship experience. Like, I've been in a lot of places where people have acted in ways, or, you know, had moves of the spirit or whatever that I didn't understand. And that was a really negative experience for me. Like, it's really, you know, when people start speaking in tongues, or when people start laughing in the spirit, or like doing all these really weird things, it's kind of off-putting, and I didn't want to be that. Like, I didn't want to break someone else's worship. It's like when, you know, when like you're deep in the moment and somebody shuffles past you because they have to go to the toilet, and you're like, yeah, like you broke my bubble.
Yeah.
So I was really conscious that I didn't want to be that, but in true like Jesus style, there was one, like, this was happening for, you know, 3, 4, 5 months to in sort of my third year of uni, and I kind of got the hand on the back feeling, and I was like, no, I don't want to do this. Yeah, and it just kind of kept happening for a couple of weeks, and I was like, okay. And unfortunately, the only available space in my church was at the front.
Oh, man.
In front of the mercy seat, and I was like, I can't even go up the back and, like, fluff about. Because, like, I'd done that before in other places, but I was like, yeah. Oh, it just looks really, like, show pony-ish and, you know, all this stuff that I was worried about, whatever. Anyway, fast forward, it happened. I was like, I hope the pastors don't come and be like, that was really nice, but please never do it again. Yeah, so it was kind of a weird experience. Yeah, Dan, does that help at all?
Yeah, well, yes, absolutely. It's I guess, like, yeah, it's just a freedom of expression, but do you think that it was harder for you because you were in a community that wasn't used to it? Like, is that... Because I'm a music guy, right? Like, I know we're talking about music, but I'm a music guy. And I know that freedom feeling and, like, I just have to do what I need to do. I get that. It's easier for me because it's seen as somewhat normal, right?
Mm.
Whereas for you, it wasn't deemed as normal as, say, other things. So... yeah, I guess, like, I get the feeling behind it, but it's such an interesting one because the community doesn't recognise it the same way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I heard in that, like, which is, I guess, really important to be able to try and place that, like, safe space for dancers to be able. Like, I don't want people to be sitting in the congregation that are still feeling the same that you were but aren't doing it, because how many people... would feel that but don't do it, you know? So
yeah.
Anyway, that's a whole, I don't even know if I'm just opening things more up, I think. But
yeah, Dan's very much getting very good at pushing all of my frustrated / inspired / I just want to do something about this buttons.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to jump on that story you were telling Pete there about, like, the Jesus, you know, pushing you on the back, and it was like, the only space is down the front. And, like, well, number one, just honour you for being obedient to that, because that's a, like, we all, again, we've said it, but we all have those moments and we're like, no, Jesus, don't make me do it. But, like, thanks for your obedience. I guess how, since taking that step of being like, all right, here I go, I'm doing my thing, it's, everyone can see it, how has that journey kind of since then been? Like, have you grown more confident in spaces to do it? How did the community react? Did they become more accustomed? Did they, like, become a bit more, I guess, dance literate and be like, oh, cool, Pip's doing her thing? And did other people kind of, who maybe have a dance passion, I don't really know the congregation, but, like, would they be... able to, like, step up or increase in confidence because of what you did? I guess I'm interested in the repercussions of what has happened since that step.
Yeah. I could go on seriously forever about this, which nobody wants. But you pretty much just, like, summarised everything that happened. Because yeah, I was at North Brisbane for 5 years. And it was a long journey in a lot of ways. And it still is, because, you know, you still find yourself in churches where even, like, raising your hands is not something that is normal, you know? And so, like, busting a move in the middle of the service, not really something that you want to do. And I think, like, that thing I was talking about before where, you know, you don't want to jeopardize somebody else's worship experience is still something I'm really, really conscious of. So, like, if I walked into what I would refer to as, like, a mega traditional church, I would not do it because it would freak people out and it would, you know, encourage people to put up walls that I don't want to be there and that Jesus doesn't want to be there. So, like, I'm just not going to do that here, and that's cool. But it comes and goes in, like, phases. Like, that exploratory phase, it was, like, pretty much every week. And it got to the point where I had to, like, think about what I was wearing to church just in case, you know, a leg went flying up in the air and I don't want to, like, flash the congregation and all those fun things. And, like, you have to dress going, Spirit, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I'm just going to put these pants on in case.
Worship-proof clothing.
Yeah, it's a weird space to be in. Anyway, so, yeah, basically, like, from there, a bunch of people over probably 6 months or so came and spoke to me about it. And they would say, you know, that was really encouraging for me, or like, I really love seeing you be so free in your worship. And there was like all these recurring words. It was always like free and joy, and which was hilarious to me because I was so worried most of the time while I was doing it. And I was like, they see this incredible freedom, and I'm like, I hope this isn't too weird for anybody else. Like, but also in worship at the same time. It's a weird mindset. But, like, thankfully, just got so much encouragement. Never had anybody say to me, what are you doing? Which I think actually would have been worse than, please don't do that.
Yeah,
so it was a really safe space for me to explore that. And it was validated, like, very much so by the leadership team and by the community. And I especially had a lot of mothers or fathers come up to me and say, thank you so much for doing this in front of the kids. We mercifully had a huge children's ministry at the time. I was kind of a bit self-conscious about it, but I was also like, actually, you know, knowing that so much of my life is doing stuff in front of young people and knowing the influence that that has, recognizing the door that was opening for, you know, these 8-year-old kids who, I think one of the most beautiful acts of worship dance I ever saw was by a kid who was like 9 years old, I think, maybe. And she was standing up in the front row and she's just doing actions, like just making up her own actions to like My Lighthouse or something, like, you know, like a real chill mainstream song. But I was like that. And I could see like 20 people looking at her just like crying. Because it was just, like, what I do looks really maybe, like, fancy and a bit, you know, difficult or, like, whatever. And that was the most pure and one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Because I was like, she's in it and she gets it. Yeah. And that's all you got to do. Like, it's not about actually, it's weird. It's not about what you do. Because I've seen people who are not dancers in very heavy inverted commas, because I'm like, everyone's a dancer, you just gotta let it out. But people who are not trained, I've seen incredible worship dance from people like that. And I think in some respects, as much as I'm a big advocate for, like, we want excellence in what we put before God and it is good to pursue your art form and all those sorts of things, I think it's actually sometimes more beautiful when it's an inexperienced but, like, desperately passionate person. I've had the privilege to work with a lot of those people in camps and in, you know, worship stuff. And the raw energy and the reckless abandon. Like, I was nervous and I had danced for, like, 15 years. By this point, I was nervous to do it in front of people, and I have danced with people who have never done anything other than worship dance. And I'm like, man, the guts and the conviction and the passion that it takes to let it out like that, that's freedom. Like,
yeah.
I look at them and I'm like, that's freedom. That is God doing cool things.
That's good, because The big thing I'm picking up from what you're talking about is, like, a lot of people are saying we need to provide a platform for dance, right? Like, as, like, the quick fix. But we're not actually talking about a platform for dance, because there's a difference between performance-based dance and, like, personal expression. And, like, I guess I'm having my own epiphanies as you're talking, because again, ignorant. I don't know what's going
on. Do you want me to send you a burrito?
I'll have a burrito.
Really well, I've discovered.
But the focus here is freedom in congregation for people to actually feel like they can express themselves properly. And I think that's really powerful.
Because I cannot wholeheartedly agree with you enough.
Yeah, because I would always... I guess, default to that. Okay, dance needs the platform. Let's, who can dance, and let's put them on the platform. That's not really what this is at all. It's actually a worship expression that we need to be encouraging just in everyday life. Yeah. In some
respect. Just to jump in, like, not to say that performance-based dance that needs a stage and whatever, that's also valid.
Yes,
that is also important and has a place. But I guess these are two different things, right?
We're talking
about. It's not just all grouped into the same thing. We're not just like, every time, like, if you have a dancer, they need a stage, they need a platform, they need a space. Mm. There's also other components of dance that don't need that. They just need permission giving, they need confidence, they need, you know, a space to do their thing, you know, and explore and figure out what that journey dancing with Jesus and for Jesus is like through as worship, you know.
Yeah, that idea of permission in a congregational setting is like, I would write essays about it if I could, let's be honest, be bothered to write essays, but like it's like, I think initially when I started exploring this, I was angry, because that's my first response to lots of things in life. I was angry that there weren't more people like me, and I was angry that that it hadn't been talked about before, and that I felt like I was, you know, pushing in, like, brick walls and, you know, trying to make noise and nobody cared and, like, you know, just chucked a classic, like, artistry tantrum. And I think eventually that sort of morphed into not everybody is like me. Big surprise, big shock. not everybody is inclined to worship in this way. And I think my greatest hope for the army and for the church as a whole is that when we do congregational worship, there is the entire spectrum of everything. Because I'm like, this is what heaven is. Like, heaven's going to be bonkers. Like, with, you know, the, because I think there is a place, and I value those people who don't sing, because that's not how they connect to God. Maybe they pray instead. Like, those people who stand really, really still, who, to be honest, kind of freak me out. But I'm like, that works for you. Awesome. All the way through to people who are, like, touching the ceiling. Like, you know, losing their minds and engaging with God in that real, like, visual, powerful, like, kinesthetic way.
Yeah.
And to have everywhere in between be validated. Mm. And I think if you look at like, the denominations of the church, really we are hitting that spectrum. Like, it does exist, you know, like, a lot of the exploration I did was actually in, I was on holidays for like 2 months and I went to a Pentecostal church and I did a lot of exploring there because I was like, these people run around with flags, they're insane, this is my kind of crowd, like, you know. So, and it was a really great space for me to have to feel like nobody was judging me, basically. But then, you know, I see, like, I grew up in the Anglican church and we didn't even clap, like, so I know that it's all out there. I think my hope is that if you are on this end of the scale and you find yourself in this kind of church, you're still valid. Your worship is still good there. You're, you know, and if you find yourself in a traditional church, but actually, like, you just get this urge to have a bit of a boogie in the middle of the service, like, that's valid too.
Yeah.
Which I know is so, so hard
for
people to wrap their heads around, and also to act upon is just so, so hard.
Yeah.
Which I think is why I'm grateful for all the different kinds of churches. And sorry, just before I forget, Shush, I love when you talk about, like, the separation of, not separation, but the delineation between performance and worship. And I just, like, every art form, like, man, we've got to learn that lesson.
Mm.
Because the line is blurred way too often, I think. Mm. I'm keen to be one day in a church that doesn't have a stage or a platform of any description. Because it's really confronting, but it's also automatic, like, demotion of anybody who might be leading, you know, the service, or, like, you know, you don't feel like your worship is less valid than somebody else's when you're all standing literally on level ground.
Yeah. What can I ask then? What kind of, if you're, say you're listening to this, you're running a church, you're running a core, you want to, you're taking on what you're saying and you're like, I want to encourage people in my local context that have the passion that you have. How do you think they can do it? What's like the first practical step around that? How can we go about changing this? How do we go about casting that vision? You might not know, but
I knew that'd be a difficult question. I wasn't ready for it. I think from a leadership perspective, or from a, you know, people who do have that that handle over culture, I suppose, like in their church.
Yep.
Worship leaders, any kind of, particularly in that worship realm, I think it's just so important to hammer home freedom, like. Mm. And to also to talk about the passages in the Bible where they talk about death, because it's a thing. Yeah. I think being open and just knowing that it's not something you have to freak out about. Mm. But unfortunately, the issue with it is that you do have to resource people, because there are so many holes that people can fall into. And I fell in every single one of them, I think. Because I didn't have any resources, and I didn't have any direction, and I didn't have, you know, I had encouragement, which is like half the battle, but I didn't know what I was doing. The unfortunate reality is that it is one of those things that, because it's so individual, and like, this is no disrespect to the musicians out there, because I know what they do is, I live for what they do, quite literally, can't do my job without you. Like, dance doesn't come off a chart a lot of the time, especially worship dance. Like, it doesn't look the same from person to person. Yeah. So there is a lot of, you just kind of got to give it a go. Like, there's no blueprint for what you should do. And that's the best part. Like, it's the most terrifying part. And it's also the best part, because it means what is produced is just, like, is spirit-led. And that's the, that's the goal. Conversely, instead of talking to the non-dancers out there, I'm going to talk to the dancers instead and say, it's your job to explore. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the best and the safest place to do that is in your bedroom. And it's really weird and intimidating at first. It is, like, especially, you know, if you think you might be in that realm, but you're not sure because all you've done so far is, you know, formal dancing classes. Mm-hmm. That can be a really scary time. But yeah, just give support, I think, and give affirmation, because it is biblical, and that's always been the big, like, that's the big downfall of the arts in general. You know, there's places that don't sing, and there's places that if you dance, they'd be like, exorcism time, you know, and so it is really important that we find that biblical base and we go from there.
And I guess, like, to dancers out there, or people who don't call themselves a dancer but, you know, like to bust a move, as Pip says, or, you know, just have some movement, like, we just want to validate you. We want to validate your art form, as, and this is a form of worship, and we recognize it, and we value what you do, and we say it is important. It is important to Jesus. It is important to the Salvation Army, and it's important to faith, like, generally. Yeah. And so I guess, yeah, I just want to say really clearly out there, we see you. We see what you do, and it's important, and it has a place in our church.
Yeah. Well put, Shush.
Thank you. Thank you. And I don't know, something you were talking about, Pip, in terms of, like, it is a culture change, really, right? This, like, freedom in worship. Some places have it. Some places it looks different. You know, it's all over. But I guess, no surprise, Shush is coming back to prayer again. But, like, we want to pray this through. Like, if you're a dancer, like, essentially what you felt, like, led by Pip, like, Jesus giving you the power back. Like, prayer is just communication with God. Like, you want to be praying that through, even in your bedroom. And as leaders, like, I think we should be praying for this culture of freedom, this culture of freedom of expression in worship, whatever that is. And I think that's always a great place to start. You know, when you go, I want this, and I want to give people permission, and I want, you know, dancers to be able to do their thing and artists to do their thing and, you know, everyone. But you don't know where to start. I'm, you know, no surprise for me or anyone who knows me, but I just always come back to prayer and be like, start there. Rely on God from the beginning, because this is all about Him, and let the Holy Spirit do the work.
Yeah. Shush, I can't echo that enough, just because I have really enjoyed this year, just because of some of the ministry stuff we've got to do with Equip. It has just opened my eyes to the prayers that have been answered that I didn't know were being answered. So the angry prayers of like 6 years ago me, who was like, there's no one else like me. Like, I was one of four leaders in dance in a team this year, living out like dreams that I genuinely didn't think would ever happen.
Yeah.
Like, and knowing that it, like, they're not all like me, they're all different, and they all have incredible giftings in different genres and in different, settings. I'm going to do it. Shout out to Tegan in Brisbane, who's doing the most incredible like community dance stuff and has built this amazing program, because she's really good at like fun, upbeat, awesome, interesting choreo, and they do performances at church and they perform in the community, and like, that's incredible. Such a good outreach. But also shout out to Hayley Paul in Canberra, who we also love, who I think is also exploring, you know, this worship stuff and does beautiful lyrical pieces. And I think as much as, you know, this is like down the track, 10 years, 15 years from now, I hope that people can appreciate that dance is diverse as music, and as diverse as every other art form. You know, we paint in watercolours, we paint in oils, we paint in, sorry, visual artists, that was a bad metaphor to go down, but like, we are incredibly diverse, and that is the beauty of God's creation in every facet of life. So, yeah, I like, just to look around and to see those people, for me, are answered prayer. Like, they probably don't know that, and that might be a weird thing to hear, but seeing that God is also planting seeds literally all over the country, and that it is coming up, and that other people are being loud about it, and they are being useful in their communities, and they are, you know, giving their art form to God, like, that is unbelievable to me. I think the day I figured that out, I just cried, because I was like, I can't believe that my petulant prayers of 5 years ago, where I was basically just throwing a tantrum, being like, I'm so lonely and I don't know what I'm doing, have become this community that is growing and is making more noise and is gaining more validity.
On that, kind of, you touched on it just briefly. What are your hopes and dreams for dance ministry in the Salvation Army in Australia in the future? Like, what would you love to, I mean, this is a big question and you don't have to cover everything, but I guess a couple of key points, maybe, like, what would you love to see happen?
I think, yeah, like, I always just keep coming back to that diversity and that understanding, and that, you know, everybody's form of worship is biblically valid. But I think my hope, here we go, is that the generations of those kids that were watching grow up with a different understanding of what dance is than their parents or, like, people in my generation.
Can I ask one more thing?
Of course.
I know we kind of skipped over it, Shush, but I really want to ask it.
Okay, go back. Go for it.
Like, dancing's your life, secularly, as well as in the church. How do you carry the worship-centered dance into a secular environment? Like, I'm thinking, if someone's listening that wants to take dance as a job, how can you guide them between church and secularly, and how that kind of works, I guess? Like,
yeah,
can you just touch on that? Because I think that's really important as well.
Yeah, I very much agree. But it's a work in progress, I think, for me.
yep.
to be figuring that out. I was reading a book the other day, like somebody's toilet book, you know, when you're just like, oh, there's a book here. Like, you probably didn't need to know that, but here we are. Anyway, I was reading this book that was talking about the idea of work as ministry and ministry as work, and that, you know, those two things are very much integrated. So basically, like, if you have a job of any kind, you have a ministry.
Yeah.
Because God was a worker and God is also a minister. And, you know, so that relationship and that understanding for me, I think probably like solidified 3 or 4 years ago. Because I was sort of frustrated because you hear about, you know, people in ministry that get like in ministry church jobs that get to do all this cool stuff and have all these cool conversations and those kinds of things with people. And I was annoyed that I didn't get to do that work. And I was like, how can I like talk about Jesus in my very secular 5-year-old ballet class? Like, and I was trying to find these inroads that truthfully for me are not there. Like, they might be for somebody and I pray they are.
Yeah.
But I think the most simple way I can put it is just being the Christ in wherever you are.
Yep.
Like, yeah. Being as much like Jesus as you can in front of a bunch of people that have no idea that that's your goal. Like, actually, weirdly for me, in teaching, the ministry almost has very little to do with dance. I hope my boss doesn't hear that, but the ministry has to do with giving kids tools to be confident and giving kids... validation. And, you know, like Arts 101, there are so many problems in our industry, like, and dance has mountains of them, you know, body image and like racism and all this stuff. But I think it's so important that those kids know that their art form is valid and that their desire to do this is valid and they are welcome here. And, you know, it's basically like lifting and plonking all of the Christian principles into whatever you do, I think is what I'm aiming for. Yeah.
Can I bring something up to add to this that you actually said earlier, like way back, but you said you had the realization that you're a child of God first and then a dancer. And so I think when we're talking about being a Christian in a secular industry, like, and you said, you know, just be like, just be yourself, be a Christian in that, like, I guess that's a clear priority that you need to have in your life, that you're a child of God first and then a dancer. And I guess that'll probably, that mentality and belief will probably really help, I assume, in the industry as you go, when you go, firstly, I'm a child of God, that changes. That never changes, I mean, and then a dancer.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Just add that in.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it's definitely, oh, I'm so sorry. I know I've talked endlessly, but can I just tell you one story that's my favourite teaching story?
All right.
Go.
I promise it's not about a kid weeing their pants. I had a really... This is kind of like the story I tell people when I am trying to explain how Jesus fits at work and how Jesus fits with the kids and with teaching and stuff. I was teaching a class in my first year at my current studio that had... it was a bunch of like 14-year-old girls who just worked at this level of emotional intensity that was off the charts, and none of them liked each other, and it was just like horrendous. And it was at 8 o'clock on a Friday night, and like, you know, just kind of the nightmare scenario. And I had sort of soldiered on with this class for a few weeks, and like they were at the point where their attitude had made another teacher that I worked with cry. And I would leave, you know, the studio and cry because they just, it felt like you were under attack for an hour and a half from a bunch of kids that you were like, I have done nothing but try to help you. Why are you responding in this way? Right? And it was just awful. So I kind of flipped the table one week and was like, stop this, I'm going to work early because I need to pray and I need to walk around the studio and just kind of do the like spatial recognition of God's presence and pray for peace and all that kind of stuff. And I did it, and from my perspective, I don't even have enough words to express how thankful I am for that lesson, because it was so much better. It was so, like, not mellow, but, like, calm, and I felt that there was mutual respect and, you know, all this stuff that had been missing. And then my favourite part was that, because I walked out like, wee, yay, like, you know, there was the moment of, I'm a great teacher, and then I was like, oh, wait, I prayed for peace, and that was Jesus. praise the Lord. And then the next day, the kids were hanging out in the kitchen, and one of them was like, oh, what did I miss in Miss Pip's class last night? And one of them was turned around and said to me, you know, Miss Pip, that was a really good class last night. It was, like, really peaceful.
What?
And I was like, cool, just got backhanded by the spirit. That's fine. Be cool. And I was like, I thought so too. And, like, went into the bathroom and did, like, a crazy, ecstatic, like, wee! And I think, I don't know, I'm one of those people who, for some reason, after 7 years, is still surprised when your prayers get answered so directly and so, like, we lifted the word out of the prayer and we put it in the mouth of the child that you were praying about. Like, just bizarre and so, so good.
Yeah.
That's a great story. I love that.
Hey, should we do some honouring? Shush?
We sure should.
We do a little segment where we just give a bit of honour to you. And I don't really know you that well. I know your name and I've seen you on a Zoom like once or twice before. But I just want to honour you for your bravery, your persistence, for the prayers of, you know, yourself 5-6 years ago, those desperate prayers that you were saying. I want to honour you for that because I think you touched on it, but that is so important. I've never been in the situation where I've had to dance in front of every single person at the front and feel, you know, that not embarrassment, but, you know, like feel the push to have to do it even though you don't really want to. And I want to honour you for that. I think that that is awesome. It shows a lot about where your heart is, that your eyes are on Jesus. And I think that that's really important. And I think that the dance space needs it and is in good hands with you doing what you're doing. And that's coming from someone who doesn't really know dance. But I know that if I did dance, I would look up to you very high, with high regard, and get behind you in exactly what you're doing. So I just want to honour you. I want to say keep going, keep showing that bravery. You said you're old and you're 25. That's ridiculous. Keep going for another 50 years. So, it's been an honour to listen to you talk about this stuff because you can see your passion and I loved it. So that's my little honour bit.
100%. I was going to say the same thing, Dan, in the sense of like, thank you for praying those angry prayers 5, 6, 7 years ago. Like, thank you, because we are seeing fruit of those prayers today. And I look at the dance scene in the church in Australia and I see there is movement. I see the ball is starting to roll and it excites me so much. And I know it's because of people like you and people who came before you as well. And people who I don't even know who are doing amazing things that God has placed. This is part of God's plan. And I know that you're just one person in a whole scheme of things, but I want to thank you for the part you are playing, the part you have played, the part you are playing, and the part you will continue to play, because it is vital. And I just love your passion. I mean, I love you generally, Pip, but like your passion for it, the way you just dedicate so much of your life and your ministry to dance, it's just wonderful. And yeah, I just want to honour everything you do because it's so great. And having you on this podcast to really have quite open discussions people might have been afraid to have. Stuff people have been like, oh, dance is kind of cool, but it's kind of weird and I don't really know. Like, thank you for having these conversations with us here and now so that we can open the discussion up and hopefully see more dances, I'm going to say it, released into their thing.
Yes.
We love you and we want to honour you and say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me and for asking the question, because this is a conversation that unfortunately only people who are very close to me have been barraged with for the last 5 years. So it's nice to know that people are listening because they want to, not because they have to, and because they're in a confined space with me. So, I really appreciate the space, and I hope you find more people like me. Mm. I hope you find people smarter than me. That would be really cool. So
let's call it a day.
Let's call it a day. We'll let you go back to your life, Pip. But thank you so much for coming on. We'll call on you again at some point, I'm sure.
Very good. And behold, very good.